Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. Happy New Year to you this weekend. And as we get ready to begin a brand new year, 2024. Wow. Hard to believe 2023 went that fast. I would like to wish you a Happy New Year. And the passage that we have is actually, although I didn't plan it this way specifically, it's actually a wonderful passage, an incredible passage to begin a year with. So, without any further ado, let's pray and we're going to dig in. Dear Heavenly Father, use this passage to set a wonderful spiritual tone for our new year. Thank you for planning it perfectly so it shows up right here on time, right when we need it. Lord, we pray for the situation in the Middle East. Continue to pour oil on the water there, I pray, Lord, and calm that situation down. And we pray that you would comfort those who've lost loved ones or have had loved ones injured or have loved ones who are hostages. God, just be the God of solace for each of these folks, we pray. And use their pain to point them to Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen. And amen. Now, we're going back to our study of the Gospels. We're in the New King James Version of the Bible. And we're in Matthew chapter 22. And in Matthew chapter 22, we're in the last week of Jesus' earthly life. He has entered the city of Jerusalem at the triumphal entry. And right now, he is in the midst of spending a day jockeying with the rabbis, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and all of them, as they seek to find ways to discredit him and to trip him up in something that he says. And so they've asked him a couple of Bible stumpers that he has turned around on them and astonished the crowd. And the Bible says that as a result of this, verse 33, and when the multitudes heard all that Jesus had said, they were astonished at his teaching. I mean, he shut the Sadducees right down. So here's where we pick up, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered together. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were two of the most dominant political slash religious parties at this time, and they were not friends. So the Pharisees were delighted when Jesus shut the Sadducees down, and they now came with their questions to try to trick Jesus up. Verse 35, then one of them who was a lawyer, now when we say lawyer, we don't mean like in today's lawyer, Esquire after their name. No. We mean as someone who was a lawyer, meaning an expert in the law of Moses and the Bible. Okay. A lawyer asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Now, the Pharisees had taken the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament law, and they had boiled it down to 613 specific commands. You say, that's boiling it down? Well, that's what they did. They had 613 commands. And so they said, of the 613 that we have, which is the greatest? Now, there were a lot of candidates. I mean, there were laws about the Sabbath, which were very important. There were laws about keeping kosher in their eating. Very important. There were laws about circumcision, very important to the Jewish people. There were laws about just about everything. There were laws about animal sacrifice at the temple. There were laws about just about everything. So which one of all of these hundreds of laws, Jesus, is most important? And they figure no matter which one he picks, they're going to be able to revile him, argue with him, discredit him by saying, no, 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 that's not it. We think it's this one. Okay. Now, what does Jesus say? Let's look. Verse 37. And Jesus said to them, here it is. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I've got my Hebrew Bible here that I want you to see. And this is Deuteronomy chapter 6 right here that I have happened to have in yellow from a previous time of studying it. And this is the famous Shema that Jewish people say everywhere. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, Shema Yisrael, the Lord your God, Adonai Eloheinu, the Lord our God, is one God. Adonai Echad is one, is a unity. Many Jewish people say, well, this is why we can't believe in Jesus, because it would mean that we're believing in two gods. No, Echad doesn't necessarily just mean the number one as opposed to two. It can also mean something that is a unit or a whole. The word can be used that way. And that's what it means here. Our God is a singular being. Now, he has three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how can that be? Folks, I don't know. But that's what the Bible teaches. There are three personages to the Godhead, but the Godhead is still a singular God. Monotheism with a triune God. Okay. Now, then the Hebrew Bible goes on to say, V'ahavta es Adonai Elohecha, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, which means, and you shall love Jehovah your God, b'kol levevcha, with all your heart, uv'kol nafshecha, with all your soul, uv'kol mo'edecha, with all your sechel, with all your mind. And these are the words without which I command you this day, they shall be on your heart, and you shall talk about them when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. That's what follows next. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is the verse that Jesus is talking about. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul, with all of your soul and all of your mind. This is the one great commandment. Now, this commandment tells us that God is a jealous God, which he often says in the Old Testament. Jealous meaning he doesn't want part of us. He wants all of us. He doesn't want to be chairman of the board. He wants to be the one and only person on the board. He doesn't want 51% of our affection, love, and loyalty. He wants 100%. You understand? This is what he's saying, in that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. I want it all. I'm jealous. Just like, hey, if we love a woman or a woman loves a man and we get married, she doesn't want, he doesn't want part of his spouse. He wants it all. She wants it all. She wants all the devotion. And let's say, because I've actually had people tell me this in counseling sessions when I was a pastor, that someone says, well, you know what? I didn't actually commit adultery physically. I just got romantically and emotionally involved with this other person. Well, I'm sorry. You may not have physically committed adultery, but just the fact that someone else replaced your partner in your heart as your love, as your number one man or woman, that's a violation of the marriage vows, and your partner has every right to be jealous, because this is how God feels. When we come to Christ, God wants it all, and he's not okay with us having other lovers. Not okay with that. That, Jesus says, is the first and the greatest commandment. But then he doesn't stop there. Now, that's a vertical commandment between us and God. But he also goes now to talk about a horizontal commandment. He goes on to say, Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, and the second greatest commandment is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. Now, the verse that Jesus quotes here, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, comes from Leviticus chapter 19. And what does this mean, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself? Well, it's very simple. Nobody would ever do harm to themselves unless they're mentally ill. We're always going to do what benefits ourselves. We're always going to be interested in trying to pick the most optimal situation for ourselves. What God's saying here is that's what he wants us to do for our neighbor. And you say, well, then who's my neighbor? How far does this go? Well, that's the whole point of the Good Samaritan parable. The Good Samaritan parable was started when someone asked Jesus, who exactly qualifies as my neighbor? How far does it go? Is it my relatives? Is it people that I know in the neighborhood? Is it people in my little town? How far does it go? Jesus told that story, and then he says, now which one of the three men that passed the guy in the road that had been beat up? The priest who crossed on the other side of the street, the Levite who crossed on the other side of the street, the Samaritan who helped the man and picked him up and cleaned him up and took him to an inn and paid for his care. Which one of these three, Jesus said, do you think was a neighbor to this man? And the person he was talking to said, well, the third one. And Jesus said, well, go and do the same. The point is, who is my neighbor? Jesus' point in the Good Samaritan parable is, who isn't your neighbor? The Samaritan didn't know that guy lying in the road. He was a complete stranger. But the Samaritan still took pity on him and helped him and treated him like his neighbor. So, what this command is telling us, you love your neighbor as yourself, is we're to do that with everybody. We're to think about everybody else's welfare like we think about our own. The Apostle Paul even talks about this in the book of Romans. Listen, let's put the verses up. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything but to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And for this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. These are all some of the Ten Commandments. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. All the laws about how to treat your fellow man are summed up in loving your neighbor as yourself. Because if you really love your neighbor as yourself, Paul says, you won't do anything to harm them. You won't commit adultery with their wife. You won't bear false witness against them. You won't steal their belongings. You won't covet their belongings. No, if you love them, love is the fulfillment of the law. So here we are. The two greatest commandments, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. What is it that this all means, and what do I want you to take home, and what do I want us to talk about doing for the whole of 2024 coming out of this verse? Well, both of these commands are extremely important. And we often talk, when we're teaching the Bible, about the horizontal command, how we are to react to other people. We're to forgive other people. We're to care about other people. We're to help other people. We're to have mercy on other people. We're not to slander other people. We're not to gossip against other. We often talk about the horizontal part of this Jesus' answer. But today I want us to focus on the vertical part of Jesus' answer as we close, where he very simply says, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Be 100% mine. Now, what does that really mean? Well, I've written down four things that I think when we love someone with all of our being are true of us. Here we go. This is kind of the summation on a practical level of putting this into practice. When we love someone with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, number one, we want to please them. We want to make them happy. We want to bring pleasure to them. You know, for our anniversary or Brenda's birthday or whatever, what do? I spend a lot of time thinking about what would make her happy. Should I get her flowers? Should I take her somewhere on vacation? Should I take her to some activity? Should I purchase some gift for her that she would really like? Should I do something around the house with the children and her that she really would like? Or whatever it might be. And why do I go through all of that? Because I love Brenda. And I want to do something to please her. Friends, God has told us in the Bible how to please him. Very simply. He's made it clear how he wants us to live. And so if we really want to show the Lord that we're trying to love him with all of our heart and our soul and our mind, what's one way we can do it? Well, by seeking with all of our strength to try to make him happy by keeping what he tells us to keep in the Bible. Number two, if you love somebody with all your heart, number two, you're loyal to them. Paul said in Acts chapter 21, for I am prepared not only to be in prison, but also to die for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you can tell how much you love somebody by how loyal you are when you're given the chance to take a stand for them at work, in your family, in your neighborhood, in the marketplace, wherever it is. Do we step out of the shadows and do we stand and support people? Well, for people we love, we do. We come to their defense, whether it's our husband, our wife, our children. Baby, yeah, mess with some children and watch what happens with their parents. Why? Because their parents love these children 100%. So when people pick on God, make fun of God, impugn God, hey, people who love God don't just take that sitting down. They come out of the shadows in a nice way, and they go, no, I'm sorry. Number three, people who love others with all their heart, soul, and mind are anxious to tell other people about them. I mean, if you ever meet a guy who thinks he has found the one true love of his life, or a woman who thinks she has, they won't stop talking about this other person. They'll drive you absolutely batty till you're like, okay, I don't want to talk about them anymore. Enough already. Why? Because they're head and heels over love with this in love with this person. Folks, David said, Psalm 34, I will extol with my mouth the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I mean, that's a person who's in love with the Lord. He wants to talk about him all the time. He wants to tell people about him all the time. You can tell how much somebody really loves God, my friend, by how anxious they are to talk to people about the Lord. And finally, number four, people who love someone with all their heart, soul, and mind, that person becomes the central focus of their life. That person becomes the central focus of their life. And you can tell how much you love somebody by if they were yanked out of your life, how much difference would it make? For people who love with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, you yank them out of that person's life, the results are devastating. Why? Because they've centered their whole life around this person. My father-in-law, Brenda's dad, when Brenda's mom died, he was lost. He didn't even know what to do with himself, and so sad and so broke. I mean, because his that he loved that woman with everything he had in her, and she was the central focus of his life, and with her gone, he didn't know what to do. My friend, if God was suddenly yanked out of your life or my life, how much difference would it make to you and me? Question worth asking. So, what's our goal this year as followers of Jesus? Well, it's to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. Which means, number one, we want to please Him by obeying Him with what He tells us in the Bible. Number two, we want to be loyal to Him and stand up for Him everywhere we go. Number three, we want to tell other people about Him every chance we've got. We're happy to extol Him and talk about Him everywhere and with anyone who'll listen. And number four, we want to make Him the central focus of our life. Anything wrong with a hobby? No. Anything wrong with things you want to do and you enjoy? No. As long as they don't become the central focus of our life. God is the central focus of our life. So how do you fall more in love with God? Very simple. We get into the Bible more. Familiarity breeds contempt. That means the more you get to know a person, a lot of times, the more contemptuous you feel about them. Because the more you see the weaknesses, the shortcomings in their life. But familiarity does not breed contempt when it comes to getting closer to the living God. Familiarity breeds love. Because He is so perfect and He is so beautiful. Familiarity breeds love. This is how we fall more in love with Him. We get into the Word, which I hope you will make a priority for your life in 2024. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You that the greatest commandment that we should is that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Forgive us, Lord, for how we can get sloppy about this. Forgive us for how we can let other things slip in. Forgive us for how we can become lukewarm in our love for you and become backslidden in our love for you. Forgive us, Lord. We're all so prone to that. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Lord Jesus, here's our heart. Take and seal it in 2024. Seal it for your courts above. Make us these people who will speak for you and be loyal to you and be obedient to you and try to make you the central part of our life, Lord. May we strive for that this year. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. God bless you. Happy New Year.